Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 74. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in sunny Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and I host the Everything Coworking Podcast. This episode today has two sponsors. So the first, and I'm super excited to announce this, is the 2018 Flexible Office Conference hosted by the Global Workspace Association and NAOP, which is the Association for Developers and Building Owners. Last year, some of you may know, we had an accidental partnership after the GWA conference was postponed due to a hurricane in Miami. So we were supposed to have our own conference in Miami in September. Hurricane came through. We had to find a new location. So we ended up joining the NAOP office conference in November in Brooklyn. We made such good lemonade together out of that situation that we decided to do it again. So this year's event is September 12th through the 14th in Austin, Texas. Early bird tickets just went on sale. So get yours now at www.flexofficeconference.com. I will put the link in the show notes, which is at everythingcoworking.com/74. It can tell you that if you are looking to start or scale your flexible office business, this is a do not miss event. The networking, the forward-looking content, and access to building owners and co-working space operators, if you are a building owner, is just unparalleled. No one else is doing this in the industry. We're creating an amazing agenda. It's not all up on the website yet, so I'll share more details as that goes up. But if you want to grab your ticket and save $100, head over to flexofficeconference.com. And the second sponsor is my own program, the Coworking Startup School. I designed it to help you create a profitable, sustainable coworking business that you love to run. The program kicks off with a one-day live virtual event, which is on May 24th. So if you've been considering the Coworking Startup School program, head over to www.coworkingstartupschool.com to get more details and make sure that you don't miss out on that. Again, the date for the live portion of the program, which is done virtually, you don't have to travel anywhere, just to your laptop, is on May 24th. And we limit it to a small group, no more than 8 people. So this program is for you if you're investing in your coworking space and want to avoid costly mistakes and stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure that you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning. And I want to make sure that you get the business model right, so that you're set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals. So we'll review your pro forma, help you with your product mix, design, sourcing furniture, working with vendors, getting your marketing systems down, hiring the right team, learning how to run the space, and getting you set up with the right tech, and more. So if this sounds like a good fit for you, head over to www.coworkingstartupschool.com. Okay, let's dive into today's topic. So I started a Facebook group for the Everything Coworking podcast listeners, which is at everythingcoworkingclub.com. That will take you straight to the group. And I ask a couple of questions when folks sign up to enter the group. And one of the most common struggles that people mention is, how do I better market my space, or how do I get more members? And there are a lot of answers to these questions, which we will cover over time. But today I want to start with the basics. I think often when we start to get nervous about adding folks to our membership, we feel like the momentum is slower than we thought it would be. We're looking for a silver bullet, an easy answer to this question. And there is not an easy or fast answer, but what will drive the best results is doing the basics very consistently. So whether you're new or you've been in business for a while, let's talk about the basics of making sure your online presence is set up to get you seen by active searchers of a flexible workspace. And I wrote a blog post about this, which I will link to in the show notes. So a lot of times folks, I think, put a lot of focus on getting people into the space, which is 100% a great idea, and you should also do that. So opening a co-working space can be a lot of work and require a lot of time, especially in the beginning as you're sort of getting your groove on and getting people exposed to the space, especially if you're in a market where co-working is still new. You want to do events to educate folks about the space. So you're doing educational events, social events, happy hours, member events, that kind of thing to get people into the space. So the trick about events and feeling like, I think sometimes people think those are the silver bullets. If I do more events, get more people in. The challenge with this is, A, you will probably burn out if you are running those events, or your community manager will hate you and quit because he or she is exhausted by being there all day and then there for events, unless you have someone dedicated to helping you host events, which is great. Hard to do in the beginning as you're kind of growing and scaling up. But over time, that's certainly something you can integrate. So I want you to think about sort of the sustainability of event and how that fits into your sales funnel. So think, and I talk a lot about sales funnel. Hopefully I'm not making anybody too crazy. And this is one of the basic things that I think is super, super important for you to be thinking about and really, really understand, and for your community managers to understand, because it'll help make sense of some of the decisions that you're making. I have a new community manager, so I'm constantly thinking about what context should I paint for her to help her understand, you know, why I do things or don't do things if she suggests them. So when you think about your sales funnel, you know, you want people to become aware of your space, go to your website, schedule a tour, come in for a tour, and sign up. And there are lots of things that impact that process. How easy it is to find your website, how easy it is to schedule a tour, if they get a tour reminder, or if they're not going to your website and going to your Google My Business listing or calling you and no one answers the phone, or if there's no live chat, or lots of things can go wrong in that process. But today we're just kind of thinking about the top of that funnel, which is people need to know you exist. And so again, events is a great way to do that because that's proactive marketing. You are reaching out and getting people into the space and saying, come meet us, come see what we're all about, you know, come understand our community, or just kind of enjoy our, you know, you're hosting an event and this is sort of a side piece that you get to introduce the space. So that can be really helpful. But when you think about numbers in the sales funnel, so you're trying to get as many people into the top of that sales funnel so that you can convert them. You can get them to schedule a tour and then, you know, say you close 50% of your tours. So it's really a numbers game. And so how do you get the most people into the top of that funnel? And it's not always the most, because certainly you want the most and the most qualified. So quantity and quality. And so one could argue that getting folks into your space for events that are related to small business owners or freelancers or tech could be very relevant folks to your space. And you should definitely focus on hosting events with qualified potential members. But the trick is that any given event is going to be 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, depending on the size of your space. Even if you have a huge space, it's just hard to get people to show up to events, right? If you're programming them, unless it's a really well-known local event that people come to repeatedly and you can sign yourself up to host that, that's a great way to get in front of people. But again, so we're talking about 10, 20, 50 people at each event, and some tiny percentage of those people are going to be looking for space in that given moment or know someone who is. So, but they may in the future. So this is like an awareness brand building effort, but it's still fairly small numbers. So the conversion rate on those over time, it's just not a lot of people. So again, I'm not saying it should absolutely be a part of your marketing mix, but I think when we talk about creating, you know, really sustainable marketing efforts, they need to be focused on getting in front of people who are actively searching for flexible space, because there are lots of people out there who know that they need a place to go to work. So you want to make sure that you show up when they're looking, and that you may be missing some things that help with this. So let's get started on that. So you want to show up when someone is searching. And so the first thing I want to mention is, don't assume that your web developer handed you an SEO-ready website. As a matter of fact, it's probably likely that they did not, unless you paid for an SEO package or had lots of very specific conversations about that topic related to SEO with them. So if you're opening a space and you haven't built your website yet, Make sure that's part of the conversation. What are you doing to improve the SEO on my website? And SEO, sorry, is search engine optimization. And so it's the things that you can do to show up higher in the search results for people who are searching for shared workspace in your area. Because remember, we're local businesses, so we don't really care if we show up for people searching in another area that's not commutable to our space. So you want to have those explicit discussions with the person making your website. And then there are still things that they're probably not going to do that you need to do. If you have someone in your network who's willing to help you with SEO, that's ideal. Sort of a friend, find a friends and family deal out there. If not, you may want to consider getting some professional help to make sure you get started the right way, because this is critical. If people don't find you, they will not come in for a tour and they will not become members. You have to make sure that people can find you. And you know where you are because you know your URL. So we are very, very bad user testers of our own website. We actually just had this exact problem with the registration for the conference site. We created it, we put it up, we tested it to make sure it functionally worked. We didn't put it in front of anybody else to have them go through the flow and see if anything was weird. And as soon as we did, after we launched it, people were like, oh, this is weird. There are a couple of really, why would you do this? I don't get it. It made complete sense to us because we designed it, right? So this is an example of like, because you know how to find your website, bad example. Also, you want to do, I'm trying to remember what the word for it is, like a clean browser when you're doing searches to see when you show up. There's a technical word for it. I'll try to put it in the show notes. But basically, you're cookied. So, you know, Google's going to pull up your search results more quickly than they would if you're someone else who's never been to your site. So, okay, so you have a website. Hopefully your developer has helped you with some of these things, but if not, you need to be proactive and either do these things yourself or get some help. And speaking of websites, this has come up in a couple of the Facebook groups. So some of these space management platforms offer websites that go with them. I would make sure you're asking lots of tough questions about the SEO value of those sites, because I just don't know how they work and if they can be optimized for SEO the right way. So I would be planning to budget for a WordPress website or a Squarespace website, both of which have great SEO capabilities. And WordPress is the most flexible if you need to do unique things on your site. Squarespace is also definitely an option and perfectly capable of all the SEO things that you need to do. But I would be a little bit careful of going with the websites that come built into space management platforms. So this is all in a downloadable PDF that I will put in the show notes. So I'm just going to run through these because some of them are kind of technical and I know that that can be hard to listen to. So what I want you just thinking about while you're driving around or walking the dogs or whatever you're doing while you're listening to podcasts, those are the things I do when I listen to podcasts, is just that you need to be focused on these things, right? So the details you can get after when you get home and you're in front of your computer. But I want you to be thinking about, oh, I don't know if that's done. I need to check on this. So these are kind of the really super critical things you need to do. So one, confirm that Google Search Console, which is formerly Google Webmaster Tools, has been implemented on your website. Most of you are probably saying, the heck is that? That's my point. Nobody's telling you that you need to do these things. My developer did not tell me. I have several websites. None of them have ever mentioned this. So you need to be proactive and own these things yourself. So there's some instructions on how to do that. All of this is pretty simple to do. You can do it. If you feel like you need some help, one thing I would do, I mention this a lot on the podcast, I think, is Upwork. I love Upwork. It's like an Amazon for freelancers. You can search for people based on what you're trying to do. So you could punch in SEO or you could punch in WordPress. If your website's WordPress, I think it's probably cheaper to get a WordPress developer than someone who specializes in SEO. Those folks are probably a lot more expensive. And if you have the steps of what you need done, you can just kind of hand these over to a developer. And if you use someone internationally, they can be outside of the US, I should say, less expensive. So Upwork.com is a great resource if you don't have a developer to do these things or feel like you can't do them yourself. So why is this important, the Search Console? So Google needs you to register or put this on your website so that they can show you data that Google has aggregated, such as search terms that your site shows up for in Google Search, how it ranks on those terms, and how many users are clicking on your site's listing. Google will also let you know if they notice issues with your site, such as malware, hacking, or violations of the webmaster guidelines. And they require this verification so that they make sure that they're giving you private information to the actual site owner. So, sounds kind of technical, but it's important you need to do it. Number two, make sure Google Analytics is implemented on your site. Why does this matter? Google Analytics is the free tool that you will use to get metrics on your site, such as how many visitors you're getting, what sources you're sending them to, and much more. It's pretty easy to do. You may need a developer to drop the code on your site, but that is a super, super simple, cheap thing to get a developer to do. So there's instructions on this download on how to do that. Make sure you are indexed by Google is number three. So these, again, you may think you put up the site and you're done, but there are things you need to do to tell the search engines that you exist. They don't just automatically find you. So you need to be indexed by Google so that it'll start crawling your site. Instructions are on this page. Submit your site to Yahoo and Bing. Links are here. Again, you want to be doing this to make sure that you are crawled correctly. Make sure you have long-term registration for your domain is number six. Long-term means 2+ years. So even if you're new and you're a little nervous, like, am I going to make it or not? Book the domain for 2 or more years. Long-term domain registration is an indicator to search engines around the quality and relevancy of your website. This is probably because there are lots of people out there buying domains and flipping them, selling them. And so this shows that you are committed and legitimate. Create a Yelp listing. So this is sort of not Google related and a little more obvious, but make sure you do this right away. Lots of discussion in a Facebook post recently about whether it makes sense to pay Yelp for ads or not. That's a separate conversation, but you need to create your Yelp listing and make sure that you are optimizing it because Yelp is absolutely a search engine just like Google and could be just as important. So you want to make sure that you set that up correctly and that you are nurturing it over time, making sure your links are all accurate, making sure your offers are updated, making sure you have photos, all those kinds of things. Get your business to show up on Google Maps, which is the Google My Business listing. So that's a topic we're going to talk about a little bit later, but the instructions are here, step number eight. Number nine is confirm that your Google page speed is 85 or higher. Why does this matter? Google dings slow pages. So make sure that you don't have slow loading images, etc., that are slowing yours down. Again, don't assume that your developer did this right. They may have made something that they think looks good, but loads really slowly. This has happened to me. Large images on home pages can be an example of something that can load slowly if they are not optimized. And there's directions on how to test your load speed on this PDF. Number 10, I would be a rich woman if I had a dime for every website I went to with no address on the homepage or in the footer. Seriously, people, you are a local business. You know where you are, but no one else does. No one knows where you are. Not even your best friend maybe knows your address. Put it on the homepage. Even if your town's name is in your URL, I get it. They still want to know where you are. It matters to Google. It matters to people looking for your space. It's critical. Go do it right now if it's not there. So if they can't find you, they might give up. So if they have to go to a contact form, whatever, you might lose them before they do that. And then how you do it is important. So there's a standard format, and I link to a Moz post. Moz is a super well-respected in the SEO world. They have a post on how to format your local business address. So I link to that in the PDF as well. So those are the Google basics that are on the PDF. I just want to mention while we're at it, a couple of other things. So in general, a framework to kind of think about this, there are four key ways to get in front of active searchers. So one, which we just talked through, make sure your website shows up in organic search results for co-working in your area. And there are some ways to do that, which we'll talk about in a minute. You can pay Google to get your website to show up in search results for co-working in your area, which people, you know, may not want to do, but I strongly advise you, if you are starting a business, you must have a marketing budget. You cannot make money without spending money. So you need to have a marketing budget set aside, and digital marketing is critical when you are a local business. And I will give you an example of that shortly. Number three, nurture your Google My Business listing, because in some cases, it will get much more activity than your website. And I will give you an example of that as well in a moment. And then the fourth is for people that come to your website, this is sort of like a 1A, capture people that are interested but are not quite ready to make a decision. So you can get in front of them via email marketing. And that could be people who come to your events, people come to your website, people who come in for tours but don't make decisions. Email marketing in an ongoing, consistent way is super important also. Okay, so we talked about how to get your website to show up in organic search results by making sure you're registered with the right search engines and everything else that we just went through that's on the PDF footer in your website. And then one more thing I want to add. This is related to a session that Kat Johnson did for our Coworking Council series for the Global Workspace Association last week. She suggested that you treat content creation like coffee and toilet paper. And I thought, well, that's brilliant, because co-working space operators understand how important it is to make sure the bathrooms are functioning. There's toilet paper, there's coffee, there's internet. We think all these things are super, super important, but then we think that there's some silver bullet for marketing. And this is, again, another example of where we have to allocate time and resources to these things. So another way to make sure that folks are getting, that Google is showing your website to people searching for shared workspaces in a specific market is to have good content that Google likes so that you show up in search results. So content being some content and keywords on the main pages of your website, but for sure on your blog. So you need to be spending time on content marketing. So Kat Johnson has a whole ebook on this very topic called Coworking Out Loud, and I did an interview with her. She's in the 40s. I think she's number 46. Make sure you listen to that and recommit to content marketing. Updating your blog helps stay dynamic and relevant, which Google really likes. You can use this content for your monthly marketing newsletters. You can use this content in your social media posts to drive readers to your website. Potential members will see it and get a sense of your personality, who works in your space, your values, etc. So treat it as important as you do some of the other critical aspects of your business. You would never allow your manager to just run out of time to take care of the internet or the coffee. So make sure that you or your manager are taking care of content marketing. Put it on the top of your must-do list. And again, check out Kat Johnson's website. She's at katjohnson.co, and her ebook is on Amazon. I think it's not very much. I can't see the price because I have Kindle Unlimited, and it's free if you have Kindle Unlimited. So grab that, because she has lots of really digestible, practical suggestions. So if you are doing the right organic things, but it's taking time because you're new, you may need to pay Google to show up in the search results early on. So I have a friend who may be listening. His name is Matt, and he opened a place not too far from me. And so I've, you know, been staying in touch. How are things going? And he feels like he should be getting more momentum than he is, you know, kind of doing the SEO thing. So I pulled out my phone when I was at my space in Palo Alto, and I searched for co-working on Google Maps, and his space showed up at the bottom of a very long list, and he's 8 minutes from my space. So I couldn't figure this out. I was like, why the heck is he not showing up higher? Because he's the closest space, and he should be very relevant and showing up to me if I'm on Google Maps looking for co-working 8 minutes away. So I reached out to Evan Oder, who I also interviewed. He's much lower in the numbers, maybe the 30s in the podcast. He is the founder of findworkspaces.com. He's also a great industry resource for all things Google, and he runs a space where you can post your space to get it found by people searching. So good for backlinks. So I reached out to him, and he suggested that Matt run ads until his SEO kicks in, and also run ads for surrounding towns. So he said sometimes Google will be very specific and only serve him up to people who are specifically searching in his zip code, you know, or for co-working in Menlo Park. So I'm in Palo Alto. He was showing up very low for me, even though he's super close on the map. Sometimes Google does things like that. So this just illustrates the importance of budgeting for digital marketing. Sometimes you can be doing the right things from an SEO standpoint, but because of the market dynamics, so the way our, you know, sort of we're laid out, we're on a peninsula. It's very, very, very dense. So there are lots of people in all the little, but the lots of little towns on the peninsula. So, I mean, when I say little, I mean 20,000, 30,000 that are separate towns, but right next to each other. And so, like I said, someone could easily choose to go to his space over my space, but they're not showing up because he's in a separate town with a separate zip code and all of that. So sometimes the way the geography or the boundaries work, funny things may happen on Google. So make sure you budget. So he's now running ads and covering all the zip codes that would be make sense for him to show up for, like people who are within 20 to 30 minutes of driving distance. And that's helping him show up in the right ways. So your Google My Business listing, this is one more thing I wanted to talk about. We talked about that. It's on the PDF with a link to set it up. So you want to take this super, super seriously. There was some discussion about this in some of the Facebook groups as well. You want to make sure you claim it. If you haven't, you need to stop and do it right now. Really, it's super, super important because people will go to that and not go to your website. So they will go to it and book a tour with you or call you or get directions and never go to your website. Or they may go to your website also, but their first point of contact might be your Google My Business listing. And this is because if you're on mobile and you're thinking, co-working spaces near me, you don't go to Safari or, you know, whatever the web browser is on your phone, you go to Google Maps. And this is the listing that will show up in Google Maps. So you need to treat it like your website and, like Kat says, as important as coffee and toilet paper. And I put an example in this blog post. So, I mean, it's really crazy. Our Google My Business views are 22,000. This was for the month of March, I think. And our website views were like 1,000. I mean, it's shockingly different. So, and we have pretty good SEO for our website, although we're getting a lot more competition. That's another thing. If you're an existing business and you've been kind of rocking and rolling for a while, you may be in for surprises as more people come into the marketplace. So it's one of those things you can't sort of rest on your laurels. I don't know why I'm using that phrase, but you can't just assume, but because your SEO has been good, that it will continue to be good. You got to work on it because other people will be working harder than you when they come into the market. But your Google My Business listing could be getting far more traffic than your website. So you can go to your Google My Business listing and go to insights, and you know, you have to be logged in with the account that you created it in, and you can see this data, and they'll show you how many photo views you get and how many people called. You know, Google highlights the little hyperlink on the listing so people can just call and book a tour. I mean, they may just not look at your website a lot if they want to just find a convenient place to work. They might just come in for a tour. So that's a huge, huge component of your sales funnel. So make sure you are keeping photos updated, you're keeping offers updated. You can put offers up on the listing. Like, we've been running a month of reduced co-working, so the reduced fee, which has been working really well for getting people to trial and convert. And then the website also covers the collecting email addresses on your website, which I think is really important for email marketing. But I think email marketing is a different topic, so we're going to cover that on another day. So I'm going to link to this blog post in the show notes so that you can see the image and more details on some of these items. So the PDF will be in there with the 10 things you need to do to make sure your SEO is in line for Google. And then some of these other things we've been talking about in more detail, like making sure your Google My Business listing is set up and talking about paying Google for ads at the beginning if you need to. We spend about $275 a month on Google pay-per-click. And again, we're in a smaller market. We're 22,000 people in Palo Alto. We certainly draw from some surrounding areas, but traffic is really terrible. So it takes people a long time to commute. So we don't draw from super far away. So our market is smaller, which is, I think, why we get away with a smaller budget. There just are fewer people kind of searching in our market. Sometimes if we have, say, more dedicated desks open, we'll look to increase that if there's enough search volume to warrant it. So we keep an eyeball on it. We kind of keep a consistent level. But if we have spots open, then we'll bump that up in order to get more traffic. And like I said, we've been experimenting with the offers on the Google My Business listing and getting lots of traffic from that, which I think is really great. And we do a really reduced, so our co-working membership full-time is $389, which is probably a little bit expensive. Again, we're near San Francisco. Everything's very expensive here. So we've been running an offer for $99 for the first month. And I think that when people are searching, it helps them say, I'll try it. Why not? If it's close enough for them to drive to, then they'll give it a shot. And we love to have people in. And a month is a long time, but they're paying. So it's not a free month. And it gets them to a member event. It gets them meeting people. It gives them like longer term exposure to the space, which we're loving. So yes, it's been a good marketing trial for us, and we may not run it forever, but it's something you can certainly try. And you can do all sorts of things. You can run a free day. You can run, what else? I mean, you could run a free week. You could run just a discount on a dedicated desk for a month, or kind of whatever, you know, you're trying to get people to come in and try, you could test, and you can take them down at any point. So it's a really good testing ground, especially if you get a lot of traffic. So a little bit of a side note, but I just want to end with wrapping up sort of a summary is events and things that get people, lots of, you know, people into the space all at once feel like activity and feel like they must be productive. And I think they're super important and you must do them. But if you have to balance where your energies and your time go, remember that online there are active searchers searching for co-working or offices or places to work online. And you want to make sure that you've done all the things that you need to do to be in a good position to get that search traffic, because that's where the volume is. That's where the top of your funnel is going to fill up faster. Events are a good way to augment that, but you want qualified people coming in who are actively looking for a space and just deciding between you and another option. So make sure that all of your basics are taken care of. Don't assume that your developer has done it. I know it's not fun. It can be overwhelming. So get some professional help if you need it, but don't ignore it and make sure you budget to get the support that you need. Awesome. Okay. Again, show notes are at everythingcoworking.com/74. And I hope you have a great week and we'll talk next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.